couldn't get him out of my mind. Could it have been a diseased gut creating that smell? And if so, could a diseased gut also have affected his psychological state? A week later, I decided to share my suspicion with a good friend. And a few months after that, the same friend contracted a bad case of gastroenteritis, which left her feeling very poorly. The next time we met, she told me she thought there might be something in my theory, as her illness had made her feel worse than she ever had before, psychologically as well as physically. Her comments inspired me to start looking more closely at this subject matter. Soon, I discovered there was an entire branch of medical research investigating the links between the gut and the brain. It's a rapidly growing field of study. 10 or so years ago, there were hardly any published studies on the subject. But now, there are several hundred academic articles covering the field. The influence of the gut on our health and well-being is one of the new lines of research in modern medicine. The renowned American biochemist Rob Knight told the journal Nature that the field offered at least as much promise as stem cell research. I had stumbled upon a subject I found more and more fascinating. As I continued my medical degree, I realized how neglected, even looked down upon, this area is in the medical world. This is all the more surprising when you consider what an extraordinary organ the gut is. It accounts for 2/3 of our immune system, extracts energy from sandwiches and vegetarian sausages, and produces more than 20 unique hormones. Most doctors learn very little about this in their training. When I visited the Microbiome and Host Health Symposium in Lisbon in May 2013, the number of participants was modest. About half came from institutions with the financial wherewithal to allow them to be among the pioneers, including Harvard, Yale, Oxford, and EMCL Heidelberg. I'm sometimes shocked by the way scientists huddle behind closed doors to discuss their important research results, without informing the public about them at all. Academic caution is often preferable to premature publication, but fear can also destroy opportunities. It is now generally accepted in scientific circles that people with certain digestive problems often suffer from nervous disorders of the gut. Their gut then sends signals to the part of the brain that processes negative feelings, although they have done nothing bad. Such patients feel uneasy, but have no idea why. If their doctors simply treat them as irrational mental cases, it can be extremely counterproductive. And this is just one example of why some research results should be published more quickly. And that is my aim in writing this book. I want to make new knowledge available to a broad audience, and communicate the information that scientists bury in their academic publications or discuss behind closed doors at scientific meetings, while many ordinary people out there are searching for answers. I know there are many patients suffering from unpleasant conditions who are frustrated by the medical world. I can't offer any panaceas, and keeping your gut healthy is not a miracle cure for everything. But what I can do is to show, in an entertaining way, why the gut is so fascinating, what exciting new research is currently underway, and how we can use this new knowledge to improve our daily lives. My medical studies and my doctoral research at the Institute for Medical Microbiology have given me the skills to sift and sort scientific data. My own personal experience has helped me develop the ability to communicate this knowledge to people. My sister has given me the support I needed to keep on the right track, listening to me read aloud from my manuscript and saying, with a charming grin, "I think you better try that bit again." Chapter 1. Gut Feeling. The world is a much more interesting place if we look beyond what is visible to the naked eye. There is so much more to see. If we start to look more closely, a tree can be more than a spoon-shaped thing. In a highly simplified way, spoon is the general shape we perceive when we look at a tree, a straight trunk and a round treetop. Seeing that shape, our eyes tell us, spoon-like thing. But there are at least as many roots beneath the ground as there are branches above it. Our brain should really be telling us something like dumbbell, but it doesn't. The brain gets most of its input from our eyes, and that information is very rarely in the form of an illustration in a book, showing trees in their entirety.